WJMS Radio. Radio reimagined.
The views and opinions expressed by any hosts or guests of WJMS Radio do not reflect the beliefs of its owners or associates. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to WJMS Radio or the show hosts whose words, advice, and or opinions appear from or on our website or on air.
Hey guys, it's Liv and you're listening to WJMS. This week I interviewed a hip-hop artist who goes by the name of Cozy Clyde. He is a rapper and he's got his own style. He recently released a mixtape which is out on SoundCloud at Cozy Clyde. If you're looking for something new and refreshing, go check him out.
Okay, so before we start, I would love for you to give us some background on your life and how music came into it, if, you know, someone inspired you, or if it was just something that you sort of stumbled upon and that's how it became your passion.
Well, it's funny you say that. You know, I grew up in my two parents were, they met in the Air Force, they met in the military. So I had those values growing up, just, you know, learning order, learning structure. But they also, before that, before they were in the military, my dad used to play trombone and my mom used to play trombone too. So growing up, not only, you know, did they kind of show me that music was the way of just, you know, expressing yourself, but like they would make me go to sleep and they would play certain songs for me. I would have the radio like right next to my ear as I fell asleep. So I always felt like music was with me. And I started music around like 9 years old, third grade. Started playing trombone for the first time. Shout out to Mr. Garden, my first band director. And from there, I just been going. And you know, I've been doing different forms of music. I did musicals. I was in a marching band. I was in concert bands or in jazz bands or whatever. And then I just started making my own music around the years of college. And from there, I've just been going off ever since.
So you grew up in a musical household. Both of your parents, you said, played trombone, which I find very interesting. I feel like that's sort of rare. So when you started, you said around 9-ish, you started with the trombone?
Yeah, started with the trombone, then transitioned over to the baritone and a little bit of the tuba. I did little brass mostly. I was a little brass person.
So are you still doing that, or have you kind of transitioned into a different facet?
I definitely transitioned to focus more on the music of making my own, like recording and vocals. I do it on the side. Like, I'll play the trombone, like, just so I don't forget how to play it. You know how you're always told, you know, growing up, make sure you keep doing it or else you lose the passion. Mm-hmm. That was how I was. So I would just do it on the side just to make sure I remember my scales and remember at least how to articulate my sound, but no, I don't do it like in a professional setting anymore. But who knows what might happen soon.
So, what do you consider yourself now? Do you consider yourself an instrumentalist or a singer, or what do you consider yourself?
I consider myself a rapper at this point. I just like to be able to put words together. I also like to be able to tell stories with my music. I would call myself a rapper. In a grand scheme of things, I feel like anybody that makes any form of music could call themselves musicians. So I guess I'll just call myself a musician as well.
And do you write your own things, or do you do mostly covers, or what do you usually do?
I started off doing covers just so I can learn how to the cadences and flows of how music is supposed to be. So, you know, I did like raps over Jay-Z music. Jay-Z's music, Drake's music, J. Cole, I would rap over them. And then I decided, like, it's not really anything to just start my own, just be able to write on my own, go through the mistakes early on, make kind of corny raps in the beginning. And then once I get the hang of it, then I could just start having fun with it. In the beginning, it was a lot of pressure trying to find my own sound, trying to mimic somebody else. And then I realized when I just work through my own, you know, sense of rap, my own sense of rhyming and my own schemes, it just started to become a lot easier and I started to have a lot more fun with it.
So what is your sound? Or if you feel like you even have one, I mean, it's okay if you don't, you can be you know, in between the lines?
If I were to describe my sound at this point, my instrumentals would be more of a boom bap type of style. So a lot of instrumentation behind the scenes. And I feel like I never lost that about myself. I just love having instrumentals or beats that I can use that just remind me of playing in the band again. I use that. And then as far as my sound goes, I like to have more of a mellow type of sound with my raps. In the beginning, I would yell. I would just yell as loud as possible because any rapper, any musician knows you can't be monotone when you're rapping or singing. You kind of have to put a little bass in your voice or just put a little bit more air into your voice. But and as a result of that, I would end up yelling at the studio or yelling in the studio. And you could hear it too. If you go back to my old songs, you'll hear me just trying to put out as much energy as possible. But as I became more comfortable with myself, I just started dialing that back a little bit, became a lot more relaxed in the studio, and my music sort of reflects that. If people were able to listen to my music, they would say, you know, it's a very chill vibe. They like the message that, you know, comes about from the music. And from there, you know, as long as people enjoy what they listen to, I win and they win. So it works out for everybody.
What do you usually, I don't know if you have like a pattern or something that you usually rap about, but is there something, you know, are you always trying to convey a certain message, or is it more like I'm writing these lyrics because they sound good together, or is it personal meaning or a mix of everything?
That's a great question, by the way. I was a huge R&B fan growing up as well. I listened to a lot of rap music, hip hop music, jazz, and R&B. So one thing I noticed that R&B singers and R&B artists are able to do, they're able to say a message. Let's use an example. I want to get something to eat today. They're able to say that message without trying to blatantly tell you. Like, they take you on a journey throughout. And they do it in a way where you can listen to it and not cringe. Like, you can listen to that type of music, enjoy yourself. You would want to, you know, sing along. So I try to take those elements from R&B and put it into my music. So if you were to listen to my music, and my message would be more so along the lines of, it's not a specific thing. It's not like me saying, oh, I'm a motivational rapper, or I'm a Christian rapper, or, you know, I'm a flashing money type of rapper. It's just wherever I feel like in that point in time, I just like to keep a certain jingle along with the type of raps that I'm doing, so people just enjoy it overall. There's a lot of different styles in rap where, you know, there's the conscious rap, there's the boom bap rap, there's the trap rap. I feel like being able to take all elements from different types of genres and kind of form your own style from that, that's what keeps everybody engaged. So I just try to keep my music as engaging as possible. It's not a specific message, but it's just more so about me messaging to the people to just enjoy themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, I'd assume that you wouldn't have, you know, even as like a songwriter or something like that, not every song is about the same exact thing. And sometimes, I mean, as a songwriter myself, I feel like, you know, I'll play a melody, and then all of a sudden I'll hear a word and I think, oh, I like that word, I want to use that word. And then my whole song kind of just revolves around that. So sometimes, yeah. I'm just channeling someone else. It doesn't have to be like a personal experience.
Yeah, I agree. I'm the same way. I feel you on that.
So when, I know you said when you got into college, you kind of started, I guess, really thriving in this sort of the rap stuff. Is that when you started writing your own raps, or did you start before college and you just continued when you were in college?
That reminds me of the reason I started giggling a little bit. Back in eighth grade, around eighth and ninth grade, you know, when you're at the lunch table, you either, you know, rap about, oh, take that back. When you're at the lunch table, you're either talking about, like, you know, the game that happened last night, whether it be basketball or football, or you talk about music stuff. So what we used to do, we would joke around and just make kind of, like, we would do the, you know, boom, boom, bat, like, on the table, grab a plate or grab a fork or whatever and try to make beats from that. And we would just rap. We would just try to find a way to make people laugh or whatever. So I started with that. And I started writing, per se, in ninth grade. But I never took it as seriously as I did now because, one, the raps weren't as up to par as the people around me. I had a lot of talented artists around me growing up. Shout out to ER Black, shout out to Miramax, shout out to Fuchsia. They, you know, I had people around me that really, they wrote and they rapped and it made sense. So I was like, I'm going to just see them do it. I'll just watch from afar. I have my own band stuff. I can do my own thing. And then I understood it's not about me doing it a certain way or trying to be better than everybody. It's just finding my own sound. So I was writing for a while, but, you know, having the confidence and having the foresight to be able to just record a verse, write down a verse, and actually release the song so people can kind of gauge how they feel about it. When I did that, people enjoyed it. And I was like, oh, shoot, if y'all enjoy it, then I might as well just keep doing it. I might as well, you know, make this make something out of this. And I've always been a music person, so it falls, it's not breaking character. It falls right in line with what I've already been doing all my life. So I've had so much fun with it.
Do you feel like it's something that, you know, you just enjoy on the side, or you just enjoy doing, like, with your friends, or are you committed to sort of making this your life and this your career?
At first it was, I just want attention. Hopefully people enjoy it. You know, I feel like every artist has that aspect. If you ask artists and they say, nah, you know, I've been doing this just to put the songs out and for myself, you know, that's a lie, you know, and that's okay. It's not a bad thing. Like, at first it was like, oh, I want to see what this does. Now over time it became, yo, one, I could really make a living off this if I put my mind to it. But on top of that, so many people would listen to my music, and I'm not, you know, I'm not that person that would, they say, oh, you changed my life forever. You know, if I ever get to that point, that would be great. But it would just, I would see people's mood change as I played my song in the car or played my song in my room. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if people enjoy themselves from me making the music and I enjoy myself from seeing people happy, let me just keep doing this. Let me get better at it, first of all. Let me improve on it. Let me not be complacent, but let me also just keep putting music out, having different concepts, collaboration with other artists like yourself. You know what I mean? Being able to bounce ideas off of one another. I think that, you know, who would turn that down if they had the ability to? So I'm committed 100% now. And since then, since I've been committed, so many great things have been opening for me, so many different opportunities. So I'm blessed.
Mm-hmm. Well, in addition to it being something that you just love and enjoy and grew up around, you know, you've, I guess, from a pretty young age started seeing the impact that your own original stuff also had on other people. And that's a good feeling. I mean, who's going to sit here and say, oh, I made you smile? Like, ugh, that made me feel horrible. Like, no, of course you're going to want that reaction. You're going to love that reaction, especially because that just feeds into how, you know, your love of the music, because you see that it's impacting other people right in front of you. And it's not some random music, it's your own music from your mind and your feelings.
Absolutely, I agree. You took the words right out of my mouth with that. You know what I mean?
I think it's safe to say that, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's safe to say that music is a part of your everyday life and routine.
Yeah, you're correct with that, 100%. I understood really how much it's been a part of my life and how much I need it in my life when I stopped doing it for about a couple months. I had a transition from the end of my freshman year to, like, the beginning of sophomore year when I was like, I don't want to do this music thing anymore. I just want to focus on school. I changed my major to business. So I wanted to be, like, you know, a marketing agent. I wanted to do that. I wanted to be able to market stuff. And then I realized I can do that same marketing stuff and make music. So overall, I would be marketing my music. Mm-hmm. And why wouldn't I take that opportunity? You know what I mean? And not a lot of people have the opportunity that we have. I know, you know, as we become older and we start to become more experienced, I feel like every artist goes through this. We kind of feel a little bit, you know, we feel a little bit underappreciated at some point in time. We feel like people don't really understand what we got going on. Mm-hmm. Everybody deals with that and it's perfectly fine, but you know, it's understanding that there's so many different ways you can impact people and so many different ways to brand yourself just from creating a good song and feeling good from that song. So it was, everything started connecting for me. And I had to, and it took me accepting that within myself that I'm talented in that realm. And also knowing that I can get better with this. It's not a matter of, I haven't reached my ceiling yet. So I get excited thinking about it.
Right. And also, like, there's so many, especially with the music industry, you know, it's not like, oh, I wrote this song and that's it. That's a huge part of it, right? If you're talented and you love it and you want to practice and put in the time, that's a huge chunk of it. But the other chunk is getting out there, especially, I mean, this is the age of technology. You need to have social media and you need to be able to, you know, network and market yourself. So why not use those, you know, other skills and use them for your music?
And it's not, you just had to believe in yourself that it's possible. It takes some foresight, you know, it takes a lot of trust within yourself. It takes a lot of trial and error. But once the trial and error is done, there's always light at the end of the tunnel. You just got to trust yourself with that. And you have to, and when those times where you may feel a little bit discouraged, you just got to understand, you got to go back to those times where, you know, you released an album or a song and somebody hit you up and said, yo, this is a great project. I enjoyed it. So, like, why would you want to end that at that point in time? Unless, you know, you find something else, you know, that really, that's your passion. You know what I mean? But I just feel like right now, just music is what drives me. It's what makes everything in my life connect. And I can't thank my parents enough. I can't thank, you know, I'm blessed. Can't thank, you know, the Most High enough for what he's been able to do for me and the people around me as well that have helped me. A lot of people that have supported me and you know, I had, you were a part of that too. You know, I had a performance, kind of like a showcase, where I was able to play a couple of my songs and, you know, just seeing how people's moods had changed and people were able to come up to me and provide their feedback and give me pointers, advice. It was surreal. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, also school is, you know, sometimes I think it gets a bad rap in terms of the music kids, because at least my parents were like, I'm not sending you to school so that you can do music things. Like, that's not what school is for. But I think that's one of the best environments, especially, like, you know, with your performance, because that's really what it was. It was a performance. It is such a welcoming environment, and it's less judgmental than, I guess, the real world, you know, quote unquote. And it's such a good starting place. At least I find that for me, because it's school. So if you mess up, like, well, you can just go and do it again. And, you know,
yeah,
like, that's how
restart.
It works.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're your friends, they're people in your community, they're people that want to support you. So they're on your side, like, already, which is great. And it's, you know, it's a good way to start, especially when you have, you know, because you have professors and you have, like, your close friends and everything. They'll be real with you about, you know, in terms of, like, feedback or suggestions. But just in terms of exposure and experience, I think, like, a school environment is perfect for that. I don't know
exactly
how you feel about it.
I think I agree with you. I know I agree with you. I think it's more so just about, I think what artists, I think we just have, we're very perfectionist type of people. You know, we don't like to let people down, so we get very indecisive sometimes. And my sophomore year is where I really had to make a decision within myself. Is this something I'm going to put 100% in, or is this going to be something I do 50% of the time and then make excuses for the other 50%?
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, you know, it was the people around me that gave me that ultimatum. And I had to realize, you know, it's not that people, it's not a matter of people not support. Like, you know, we get into that phase sometimes where we're like, not a lot of people are really understanding us. Kind of like, you know, or our parents, you know, they don't really see the vision as far early on. And once they see that you're, you know, willing to put the work in and willing to actually see everything through, that's when you start to get the support. That's when you start to get all the people trying to help you. So that's why I had to understand within myself, like, I have to, in order for other people to believe in what I'm doing and support what I'm doing, I have to do that myself. You know what I mean? I got to believe in myself enough to put myself out there, be willing to take, you know, take the time, be patient with all the process. You know all this stuff. You know how, you know, just the process and seeing what works and what doesn't. Every failure you have is just a lesson. You know, quicker people understand that and are okay with just having that lesson taught to them, the happier they'll be. It's not going to be easy, but I'd rather it be, you know, I'd rather it be hard and still fulfilling than not do anything at all, you know?
Right. And I think the failures in terms of, like, you know, the music industry. I mean, I think that's also very dependent on, like, what exactly you're doing, because there's so many different, like, facets and branches that failures can range, like, you know, there's a huge broad range of them. But I think music is also, it's interpretive. You know, if we're just talking about listening to music and or listening to watching someone perform. So, you know, there might be something that you're like, oh, I love this, and this is totally me, and I want to share this, and then you get some negative feedback. It can be, it feels like a huge blow, especially because music is so personal, especially if you're creating it. So it's, you know, it's not like math or science where you do the calculations and then you get the number and there's no room for interpretations. Like, that's the number. And if you don't get right. The number, then you did something wrong.
Right.
So music is not like that, because you might say, well, I like this kind of beat. And someone else might say, well, no, I think it was too, whatever, busy. I don't know. But it's very difficult, and you're right that you have to be able to take criticisms from people and sometimes not even criticisms, but suggestions. But then you also have to know when to not take those and say, like, well, you know, I'm being true to myself and I like this regardless of what some people might think about it.
Yeah, the only time where I agree, and we actually talked about this before the interview, just understanding, taking feedback, taking critique. And you call, you know, we don't even call it critique. We just say, you know, feedback and suggestions. And I feel like the only time where you got to just take in a suggestion, you're like, maybe I'm not going to listen to this one. It's just when somebody tells you, maybe you shouldn't be doing this. And that's pretty, but any other time when somebody's providing that feedback, it's only because they want to see you do better. They want to see you come back with something even better. So I take everything in and stride and I just appreciate the fact that people are actually at least listening. I talked about this with you too. Like, sometimes I'll purposely make a bad song and then send it to one of my people to see if they're going to tell me, yo, this isn't going to hit, or if it's going to hit. You know, and they're great. They're good to me. So sometimes they'll fall for it and be like, oh, it's good. And I already know it's not. But that goes to show, you got to be your biggest critic at the end of the day. You know, don't self-hate yourself. Don't down yourself. Always keep pushing forward. But, you know, you understand more than everybody what you have to improve on. And that's, you know, and that's a great way to be as an artist, because there's always things to try, to experiment, to try a better way to market or promote something. It's always different. So that's the journey. The journey is the career. It's not the end result. It's the journey that comes with it. If you have people around you that are going through the same journey as you, that's even better. That's icing on the cake. But if not, you just gotta trust in yourself. That's
all. Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think you have the right attitude, and you're also probably a little farther ahead than some other people, just in terms of the attitude that they have towards it. But it seems like, you know, you're on the right track with everything that you're doing, and not to mention that everything you're doing is. Seemingly, as a person in the music industry myself, very time consuming. So I know that you said that you know, took some time off and decided to switch your major and things like that, but obviously now you're back, you're totally, like, fully back in it. So how do you juggle your time? Do you find it hard to balance your musical life with your, I don't know, everyday normal life, quote unquote, or academics, or how do you balance everything?
I think the difficult part in the beginning of the music, which was, once again, like, sophomore year going into junior year, it was understanding, all right, so one flaw I have about myself, you know, I want to help everybody. I want to kind of be the person to make wrongs right all the time. And sometimes that leads to me not saying no to certain things, not in, like, a bad way, but just taking on too much. So I wanted to start my music career way earlier than it ended up being. But I was, you know, I was heavily involved in school. I would be in, like, four or five clubs, and I would try to be a leader in all those clubs and awards. And it weighed me down. I actually made a video about it. I was burnt out, and it didn't motivate me enough to want to do things for myself. And I think with balance, just being able to balance work, because obviously, you know, It's ideal, you know, it would be ideal for me to be able to be like, oh, I just want to record for the rest of my life. I don't want to go to work. But, you know, we gotta feed our bellies. So, you know, there's a difference between having that balance of working and getting paid and, you know, obviously getting your grades looking right, and then trying to overtake too much, and then everything ends up not being where you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to just understand my priorities. I had to have real conversations with the people that are close to me, and they understood it. You know what I mean? They supported me with open arms, and so it made me realize, like, this whole time I could have been doing this the whole time had I just understood that I don't have to be everywhere to get my point across. And I think with having just the music and focusing on that and focusing on what my responsibilities are, my music's actually going farther than it was when I was trying to be everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think it ties into just letting go of expectation of everything. Of course, I want to be successful. Everyone wants to be successful with whatever they do. But it's just understanding the patience and understanding what this is all about. It's about the process that leads to it. It's not about the end result immediately. That's why I don't get too upset if things aren't going along as quick as I wanted to. Because I understand there's a reason why that's happening. It's just an opportunity being cooked up on the other end. But, you know, this comes with training. I had to train my brain to think this. Trust me, I have not thought about this all my life. It took a while. Like, if you even talked to me last year around this time, I would have been like, you know, the music industry, they don't let anybody in. Like, it would have been hard. Like, it would have been very difficult. But I understood. I had to really start taking this stuff in the stride. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's okay. It's okay to just relax for a little bit and get better on the side. And, you know, mm-hmm. I believe... Because I'm sitting down with you today, we're doing this interview, and we've been friends from beforehand, but just seeing where I was a year ago, I wouldn't have been able to do this type of interview, because I wouldn't have had my thoughts in check. I wouldn't have been able to have my approach in check.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. Everything happens for a reason. Everything happens at a certain time for a certain reason. So,
well, you said yourself, you know, a couple minutes ago, that, you know, people in this industry tend to be a little bit, they have perfectionist tendencies. And I mean, I totally agree with you. And also coupled with that, I think sometimes people who are pursuing a career in music have to be almost like, you know, overachievers a little bit as well.
Yep.
Otherwise, because it's such a difficult industry, like you would have to be the luckiest person in the world to not put any work in and then, you know, get what you want out of it. So, you know, that could be part of it too, because I'm assuming that if you're, you know, you're doing a lot of clubs and you are in a business major and everything, you're putting your all into those things as well. Like you said, you want to be a leader. Like that's a lot of work. That's a lot of effort, time, energy. So you're putting 100% into everything that you're doing. Or 110%.
Yeah. I try the best of my ability, yeah.
Which makes it sometimes difficult if we're doing, you know, a lot of different things. Because sometimes, I think you're right, we're unnecessarily like, I have to be the best at this unrelated thing to music just because I'm an overachiever.
And I would say this too, you know, sometimes you have to have that's, you know, everyone has that brain cell that tells you sometimes, all right, forget everything that's going on. It's time to go full on. Like, this has to be perfect or whatever. You know, there's times and places for that. I'm not going to say, you know, be nonchalant. Trust me. When I'm in the studio and I'm recording a song, I try my best to just be okay with how it sounds at first. But if it has to sound a certain way for me, I have no problem with saying that. But I just I understand now that it's not, I'm doing that not because, you know, the opportunity is going to waste tomorrow if I don't. It's just me getting better and just putting the product out. And, you know, I actually have a question for, this is probably, you know, first time having for you, like, on this interview, but, like, I have a question for you. How do you feel about the argument of quality versus quantity? What do you focus more on, and what do you feel like is much more important?
I mean, personally, quality. I understand that sometimes... You know, I understand the impatience of, like, wanting to get things out there as soon as possible, because the more you have, you know, maybe the more exposure you have, you're reaching more people. But if you're reaching those people and it's not a good song, or it's not produced well, or it's a, I don't know, not the best performance, I think you're not going to feel good about it as the artist, right? Because I don't want to put music out that I'm not comfortable with. So for me to be comfortable with it, and more than comfortable, for me to be happy with it, then it has to live up to my standards, obviously. And being around very talented and capable people, those standards wind up being very high. So for me, it's definitely quality. I mean, it takes me forever. Like, I've been working on one song, you know, we're entering, like, my fifth month, right?
Oh, I know, so, and I know for a fact it's going to be worth. Shout out to you. I'm going to plug you in real quick in this. Yeah, I've heard your songs. I've heard you sing in a public setting. And trust me, like, it pays off. It pays off. So that's much appreciated, no doubt.
Yeah, so, I mean, just for me personally, because that's what kind of person I am, that I'm not like, oh, well, it's not how I've envisioned it, but it's fine. Like, that's not who I am. So it needs to be up to, you know, my own personal standards that I feel comfortable in sharing it with people, because then I'm never going to feel good about it. What about you? How would you feel? I feel like we're going to have the same, similar answer.
Yeah, I'm a quality person as well, to a fault. I have a problem. You know, my perfectionism, it really is paralysis by analysis. I think that's what the better definition is.
Paralysis by analysis.
Yeah, because actually, it's really called analysis paralysis, but I like having a bigger, because sometimes, like, my words get jumbled up. So paralysis by analysis, because I think perfectionism, I think you just need a little bit of that just to keep you pushing and keep you in check. But when you get paralyzed from just indecisiveness, because at least speaking for myself, I have an issue with putting myself out there. And that seems so crazy, because I feel like I'm in places where I'm always putting myself out there. But I feel like I just started hitting the ice with that. I just started, you know, mining in terms of putting my stuff out and accepting the feedback and just being okay with the outcome that isn't, oh my God, let's get you on BET, let's get you in the Grammys, all this type of stuff. But no, like, I realized, like, this doesn't have to be a bad thing. This doesn't have to be a stressful thing. Like, I don't have to end up, like, hurting myself in the process because, you know, I don't feel like I'm putting enough of my energy into it. I understand I'm doing everything that I can at this point in time, you know, to succeed, so. That's really all I worry about.
Right. Because then also if you get stuck in, we've all been there, you know, that you get stuck in this, no, it has to be this way and it's not perfect. But, you know, then sometimes when, it's like when you overthink something, then all of a sudden it, like, stops making sense.
Yep.
If that makes sense.
Yep.
So, like, sometimes that does happen and then you're not satisfied with anything, right? But then you feel like the clock is ticking and you need to get this thing out there, but so you don't want to take a break. At least that's what happens with me, that I'm like, I can't take a break, I have to do this, except I don't know how to do this because I'm frustrating myself.
Exactly. Yep, I feel you on that. I feel you 100%. I'll say artist and musician, anybody that's had a piece of work that they've had to put out before, they understand the anxiety that comes with that. But the reason I say quality, but I also acknowledge quantity, is just having, it's kind of like repetition. You go to the gym for the first time, it's going to be your worst time. You go back the second day, you're like, okay, this isn't nearly as bad. By the end of the week, you're like, oh, I need to get back to the gym. And then, you know, your trainer's like, no, you need a day of rest before you bring it. Yeah. You know, like, it's kind of like that. So, like, I really think it's a balance. It really is a balance. You know, pretty cliche answer, but it's a balance. Just like in life, everything is a balance.
You're right. It keeps coming back to that. Everyone, at least I think almost everyone that I've spoken to and, like, had interviews with, it always comes back to balance. And it's not just some, like, BS thing that they're saying. It's like, this is from experience. You need to have this. Because if you have too much of one or too much of the other, either you're going to, like, run yourself down to a point where you can't work, or you're going to be so anxiety ridden that you're not going to be able to do anything. So, yes, I totally agree with you. So, okay, I want you to tell me about the songs that I'm going to play. And the first one I'm going to play is Celebration. And the one after that is called Champagne Showers. And they're both from, correct me if I'm wrong, they're both from a mixtape that you released back in October.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so is there anything that Well, why don't you just tell me why you've chosen these songs in particular?
Well, thank you for asking about that. The mixtape was called Cozy Season, let me not just give the small answer. I gotta provide all the context just so everybody understands. So in July, talking about quantity and then versus quality, I did a quantity release in July. It was the Before the Season EP. You can find it on SoundCloud at Cozy Clyde. It was my first real project of just songs that I've been keeping in the tuck for about 6 months beforehand, and I had to put it out, and it felt good releasing music, and then immediately the second day after I heard the music afterwards, I realized I can't have this be the end all be all. I have to work on something, and it has to be quality. I'll first talk about Champagne Showers. Champagne Showers, it was a song, it was a really short song. It was the first one I ever recorded in the studio. Champagne Shower, it basically ties into, just being able to understand where you're at your point in time in life. You know, there may be a lot of things going on, maybe negative in some settings. Everybody, I feel like, goes through something. Nobody's perfect in this world, you know what I mean? So everybody has some sort of struggle that they go through. But sometimes you just need to put yourself out there and celebrate. It's kind of ironic because celebration and Champagne Showers has kind of the same concept of celebration, gratitude, having fun and whatever. But the difference between Champagne Showers and celebration, Champagne Showers is more like a song you throw on in the car. You want to get, you're with a crowd of friends, rather than celebration is where you're with, you're with your adult people, like your parents or, your aunt that you want to impress after graduation. Mm-hmm. Celebration is like one of those professional songs. Champagne Showers is like one of those, I wouldn't even say ignorant, because if you listen to it, it's not like really more so ignorant. It's like more like, yo, I'm confident in myself. I can flex this. Let's shower the champagne. You can get a bottle. You can get a bottle. You can get a bottle. And understanding that every obstacle I had way before, I talk about the couple obstacles I had beforehand, like forming a team, forming a solid team, and all that. It just shows like there's always a time to celebrate. You know what I mean? That's the best answer I could provide for that. Those two, because they really synchronize with one another. If you listen to the whole entire project, you'll kind of see a common theme of like, yo, we made it. We made it here. We made mistakes in the past, but it doesn't matter. It's like a perfect imperfection.
Awesome. Well, let's take a listen. The first one is going to be Celebration, and right after that is Champagne Showers.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you again to another presentation, the third one on the way. I'd like to present to you Mr. Clyde Killebrew IV. He goes by the name of Cozy Clyde. Please give him a hat, everyone. Please introduce him. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah,
I'm glad you made it to the ceremony. Introduction, I now go by the name of Cozy in the flesh. But my team is coming right at your neck. So if you bout the music biz, better be coming correct. Rule number one, we only manifested in here. Rule number two, I need a fan section in here. After the meetings and the paperwork and hate, I had to recognize that Clyde, you probably couldn't pick a better career and less established. Last semester blew in my face, making an effort for these niggas. Had to put in their place, I digress. Doesn't mean that I'm accepting for less. It doesn't mean my team can double up and get to the checks. It don't mean if we quadruple, we stupid, my nigga. It probably mean that we the best of the best. Bing ring shit. Might go take a trip to the sky. Real wing shit. Never fold on my family ties. That's real king shit. I got the love for you, baby. I need it all back. I got the Hennessy, baby. You rockin' all black. And guarantee I got the swag to reunite the nation. So grab your glass, have a seat, let's have a celebration. Mood switches, nope. I made it easy for you niggas, y'all can feel the message. Merchandise, a website,
Now am I on? Is it even a question? Now look, why my people have the habit to hate? Why I gotta put my life into this music so that y'all can relate? Facing my fears, that's a sticky situation. To face accountability, there's always hesitation. So I gotta put the drugs down. Can I look for love now? Cause my time is ticking, word to savvy, that's the bust down. Trying to moonwalk to the quickest satisfaction, but my happiness a fraction, that's a negative reaction. But I love my brothers, they my brothers for life. Through the trial and the hate, we gon' see through the light. And I swear that it's a blessing, collaboration was destined. Had to do it for my man, so we gon' be teaching lessons like that. I got the love for you, baby, I need it all back. I got the Hennessy, baby, you rockin' all black. And guarantee I got the swag to reunite the nation. So grab your glass, have a seat, let's have a celebration. Pull up, bring it back, come rewind. Never had to sweat it, cause we do it all the time. You can sense the plagiarism when they staring at you. Cause they the type to take your soul and they would never ask you. You gotta ask them why they hating on me. Is it the top ambition? And you know I stayed with it, it was like you wasn't waiting on me. You got to scurry off quick and now you're holding on my dick. You get butterflies when I walk into the building. Said I'm a token that it's easy and that you could do it better. But I'm waiting, wish you see just what I'm feeling. I told you motherfuckers that I'm everlasting, 2020 vision. Alright, thank y'all for being here. Here are the rules one more time, you wanna be a part of cozy season. One, stay cozy. Two, stay humble. And three, be you. I got the love for you, baby, I need it all back. I got the Hennessy, baby, you rockin' all black. And guarantee I got the swag to reunite the nation. So grab your glass, have a seat, let's have a celebration. Cozy, yeah, yeah. October's very own, and that's my new team, so I'm never feeling alone. It's probably why I feel like the man whenever I'm home, cause I've been giving flows and studying with purpose, cause I'm grown. Young Libra, King Cobra, King Killer Brew in the building, smell the aroma. And with my tunnel vision, we went from peasants to owners, so we've been living lavish, I forward the mea culpa. Ayy. Call my brothers up and tell them we hitting the stew. Maybe we write, maybe we cook, it's something to do. It's always clutch if you can build this shit up with your crew. Cause trust issues a bitch, baby, it's nothing new. Hey, hey. So we gon' fuck around and have that champagne shout. Champagne shout, hey. Now we gon' fuck around and have that champagne shout. Champagne shout, coast. This that type of shit that keep a king like me astute. This that type of shit that make them shake up in they boots. Speaking of celebration, I'm trying to jump the broom. Wishful thinking, no, cause I've been in my double mood. One question, what do I do to make you a believer? I know the influence is there, so I know that you've seen it. I got the documents approved, there ain't no jeepers creepers. I'm an overachiever, dig deeper. I seen who you enlisted, but the hate, it getting to me. Now I got permission, couldn't wait to take the crown. But if you see me YOLO, bitch you late. And now you playing games like Marco Polo. Drop the tape, my motto YOLO, nigga. So we gon' fuck around and have that champagne shout. Champagne shout, ayy. Now we gon' fuck around and have that champagne shout. Champagne shout, coast, coast.
So that entire mixtape, like including those songs, are on SoundCloud.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's your SoundCloud name?
It's Cozy Clyde, one word. It's the same name as my stage name. You can also find me on Instagram at Cozy Clyde.
Okay, cool. So I don't really like love this question, but I ask people anyway, just in case they might have a favorite. But I mean, I'm the kind of person that doesn't have a favorite. Do you have a favorite song that you've done, or, you know, are one of these two your favorite, or is it a different song that's one of your favorites, if you have a favorite at all?
My favorite song that I ever recorded is also on Cozy Season. The song is called Cozy Tea. that song is really quick. It's like a minute and 30 seconds. And it just was me finally being able to... It was like one of my more emotional songs on the project. I remember writing for that verse. It was a really bad day. It was around Valentine's Day. So you already know what kind of energy, you know what kind of energy I was on. Yeah, it wasn't... But it wasn't like one of the love songs. It was like a culmination, like, of a lot of things going on at once. But I decided, instead of me doing something stupid, instead of me trying to lash out at somebody or something, let me just go ahead and write this verse. And everything started... So, everything started to come together. Everything started to come together with time. And the verse ended up being one of my cleanest ones. Everything, it just was, every people that listen to that song, everybody that listens to that project overall will see, like, wow, this is the time where it went from just chill out vibes, and now this is the time where, yo, I'm going to play this at the gym, or I'm going to play this when I'm going through some stuff. And everybody enjoyed that for the most part. And I understood, like, I understood where I was at that point in time. And just being able to put that song specifically on the project and seeing how well it did just from people's, you know, reactions to it, it helped me alleviate all the stress that I had building up. So now I understand if I ever go through something where I feel like I can't express it at that point in time, I could just write about it and other people will be able to enjoy it. That's cool.
And that's also, that's from, you said, the same mixtape, which is Cozy Season.
Yep, yep.
So I have a sort of unrelated, well, not unrelated, but a little unrelated question that I ask everybody, because I think it's so interesting to hear their responses. It's about current events, which is basically, you know, we're living in sort of a tense time. Whether that be politically or socially or just, you know, just generally. It's
medically.
Medically. Yeah. All of the above. How do you think that music can impact our society? Or do you think that music has a place or an important role in society at the moment?
I think it does, and I think the reason, this is kind of actually, this is more of a different type of answer than the norm. I think it shows how different we all see things. I think it shows how, all right, I'm the type of person, I don't like being in a world where I feel like everyone has to think the same and be the same way, or have a certain mindset. I think that kind of leads to a lot of dissension or a lot of resentment. So being able to hear different perspectives from either different demographics or different circumstances, it allows people to teach. And if you agree with something, then that's even better. You'll play that song all the time. But if you don't agree with the song and how their message is, it provides dialogue that otherwise wouldn't be had if we're just on social media tweeting all day. You know what I mean? I feel like us as music artists, we have that outlet to be able to... We don't have to be correct with however we think, but all we have to do is express it, and someone will be impacted by that. Someone will be impacted. Somebody will feel you in some sort of way, and if they don't, I don't think somebody's going to stop listening to an artist because they don't agree with them on a specific lyric or song. I think do I think they're going to ask questions and provide a dialogue? Of course. I think that's necessary, though. Us as human beings, and especially us as adults, it's imperative for us to be able to sit down with each other and be able to not agree with each other, but still respect each other's time and place. And I feel like us as music artists, we understand that more than anything. But I'll tell you what, there's certain music I can't stand, but that's not for me to tell somebody, nah, you can't make this type of music. Because somebody else thinks, nah, this is the music that keeps me flowing, keeps my juices going at night, in the morning, it keeps me alive and whatnot. So I just enjoy the freedom of expression, and I enjoy people, whether they want to talk about what's going on in society, I respect it. And if they want to talk about how things going on in society are being told to us or fed to us, then if you, as long as you say it in a way that I can enjoy it, then cool. I'm cool with that too. No doubt.
I think also, I mean, personally, I feel that sometimes people respond better to a piece of music than, I don't know, someone just like shoving information or just throwing data at them, like, you know. And also I think obviously music has the ability to open up people's eyes and expand their horizons and everything, because I'm you know, there have been times that I would say, you know, maybe wasn't focused on a certain issue or wasn't I don't know, aware of something, and then I heard a song, and I thought to myself, oh, you know, there are people struggling with that, and I didn't even think about it. Or there are people, you know, this is happening, and this is making people feel this way, and I was completely oblivious to it. So, you know, I think especially now, in this time that we're in, we need a more uniting force, and I think music can provide that.
Yeah, I agree. I'm always on the component of let's come together and figure this out as a whole. I feel like we shouldn't have to separate because of ideologies and whatever. As long as the ideologies aren't hurting somebody else's pocket or hurting somebody else's family. Now, I guess that's easier said than done, because some people really think one far, you know, very extreme way, and then other people think some extreme way on the other side. But, you know, that's why I make my type of music. I think with us finding our groove, and it once again ties back into finding your own sound. You know, you find your own opinion on things. You find your own way of thinking. You feel like at a certain point, even if it's not as popular, a way of you thinking, of course there's a way of going about it. As long as you respect others, I feel like you can think how you want. You can make music how you want. And it should benefit everybody involved. Why? Because you're expressing yourself, you're being truthful. If people were as truthful as they try to portray on social media, if people were as truthful about how they think, it would be a lot more harsh, but it would be a lot easier to get things done. It would be a lot easier for people to respect one another. Because at least, all right, you're going to say something I don't agree with, but at least you're keeping it real with me. At least you're not trying to smile in my face or whatever. Man, but this is the stuff I think about all the time, like, I just try to figure out what ways I can impact my family in a positive way and the people around me. I try not to be that person that says, oh, you got to think like this. Oh, you have to, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you making a song about this? I can't. At least it's not for me to be like, if someone else wants to do that, then that's all. Shout out to them. But that just can't be me at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. But we can all use our voices for different things. It doesn't have to be.
Exactly.
It doesn't have to be the same thing, because then you wouldn't have any variety.
Yeah. Like, even in genre, like, I just think a certain way. It's just in regards to, like, I just don't see, it's crazy. I just don't see a reason why it has to be so, you know, extreme if we don't agree with each other. There's a way of just articulating it. But, you know, I feel like musicians understand that more than everybody, hopefully. Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, this is a different time we're in now, so I guess we're going to figure out how life really is. We still haven't even really left the house like that yet. But soon we're going to have to be masked up and leave. So we're going to actually have to see how interactions go. And then I guess I'll have to come back on the show and adjust my thought process.
Tell me your new opinion.
Yeah. You're like, abort, meet me. Nah, I don't think like this anymore. So who knows? But I just understand. I care about the people I care about. I respect everybody that I interact with. So that's all it's about. So there's nothing more that you can do unless you're trying to overcompensate. Usually people will overcompensate, they're hiding something. So I just like to live how I live. Can't really tell people how to think or do. So
that was a great answer. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks so much for tuning in, and don't forget, you're listening to WJMS Radio.
WJMS Radio.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Far too kind.
See, we keeps it real. We always gonna keep it real. You can't knock what's real. You know what I'm saying? We telling the truth, man.
Thanks for listening. Tune in 24/7 at WJMSradio.com.